We're doing Yudal Kislev. Today is, of course, Tezvav Kislev. And as I've shared with you recently a couple of times, that the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin actually got married on Tezvav Kislev. The date and the invitation, and perhaps the date of the first ksuba was Yudal Kislev. But remember, it was winter and it was Poland. And the Rebbe writes someplace that the chuppah was postponed for a long time. I think they waited for somebody. Someone of the Gedolim to come. 2 or 3 hours they waited. So the chuppah didn't start till like 6 or 7 o'clock. So there's no doubt that the Rebbe's wedding was on Tetzvav, which is the 15th day of the month. We spoke about this as Shchedish. I don't remember. Shchedish Kislev, which is also a Sunday, we had a Fabrengen about this. That the Rebbe's connected to the first of the month and to the middle of the month. The other detail which is interesting is, and this is in Zalman Gerari Sefer, it's now been published. I heard about it unofficially, but now it's printed. That the Rebbe told the Zalman Gerari, I think after the Rebbetzin passed away, and the Rebbe insisted on immediately taking care of all of the bills. All the people who had worked with the Rebbetzin had to be paid right away, I think even before the Levaya. All the bills for the Levaya itself had to be taken care of, and the Rebbe wanted to pay for everything. He wouldn't let anybody else pay for it. And he said, this is from my nechiyuvim lay the ksuba. In a ksuba, a man is obligated to take care of his wife's final obligations. Befrat as my ksuba geschrieben der Rebbe de Shver. My ksuba was written by the Friedrich Rebbe. What happened? A ksuba was prepared, and it was written, and it was signed, and it was stolen by the chasana. Now, the Rebbe's ksuba was stolen. Well, it disappeared. Never found it. Exactly. Now, we're not sure if it was stolen by a pickpocket or by a Hasidic fanatic who thought it would be cool to have a ksuba of the Rebbe. Bottom line is, the Rebbe said to Zalman Gerari, was that whom came from the chasana? The wedding went till the morning. I mean, the chasana went on all night. The chasana didn't finish till the morning. The Rebbe's chasana was till the morning. So they came home after the chasana, and they discovered that they have no ksuba. So the Rebbe says to Zalman Gerari, an emir beide. The Rebbe and the Rebbe saying, gang in some Rebbe, some Shver. And the Rebbe said, "I guess not geschrieben nach Ksuba." So the Friedrich Rebbe wrote us a new Ksuba, but Ksaviat Kochi. This Ksuba is in the Rebbe's house. In the Rebbe's house, you have the Rebbe's Ksuba, and people have seen it. The Friedrich Rebbe wrote it himself, and I think there were different Edim also on the Ksuba, different witnesses. And in that second Ksuba, it says Tezvav Kislev. It doesn't say Yedal Kislev. It says Tezvav Kislev. So the Rebbe says to Rebbe Zalman Gerari, "Is mitzugikum nach Ksav." So I had one more manuscript from the Rebbe de Shver. His whole derer was a chosid now has another paper from his Rebbe. He happened to be his father-in-law, and they had hundreds of correspondence, hundreds of letters back and forth. So anyways, Tezvav Kislev is not an inappropriate date to celebrate the Rebbe's chasana. And the topic for the first hour is the stories of Yudal Kislev, what came before, during, and after. So let's talk about it. Kodim Kol. There's a story that goes back to the Alter Rebbe. If you can imagine that. There was a chosid by the name of Reb Nechemya Dubrovna who was a friend of the Tzemach Tzedek's, a chavrusa. They pushed to learn together in Lubavitch. During the lifetime of the middle Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek had chavrusas, Reb Yankiv Soltzer Kase and Reb Nechemya Dubrovna. He was the Tatat Gehesen of Avraham Birch. Apparently, Rabbi Avraham Birch was a very big chassid. I have no idea who he was. I never read anything about him. But every time they mention him, they say he was the son of Rabbi Avraham Birch. So Rabbi Avraham Birch must have been a big chassid. But the chassid was a moinidik agon, and he was a guy that a businessman. He wasn't that off. He wrote Charles Tshuva's Divrei Nechemya. When the middle Rebbe passed away, he didn't go to Lubavitch. Why? The Rebbe was his chavrusa. Rebbe was his buddy. Tzemach Tzedek. And he had a dream. And Alter Rebbe came to him in a dream. And he asks him, "Was hast du nicht kein Rebbe? Why don't you have a Rebbe?" And I don't remember what he answered, if he answered altogether, but in the dream, the Alter Rebbe said to him, "Fahr in Lubavitch. Go to Lubavitch." And the dream finished with strange words, "Menachem behoive, Menachem be'osit." Which translates in English, Menachem now, Menachem later. Menachem in the present, Menachem in the future. It's poshet. It's eerie. It gives you goosebumps. The Alter Rebbe said, Menachem behaved, Menachem. It's in the Likutei Diburim. The Friedrich Rebbe tells the story. This is not Mipi Chasidim. This doesn't come from Yudel Chitrik. He's a fine man. But this is a Fidik. He doesn't look at this. He fit the Buddha. Menachem Behevim, Menachem Be'osit. This is the first Tzipur. The second Tzipur is the following. The Tzemach Tzedek had 7 sons and 2 daughters, Kiyodua. The Mittler Rebbe had 7 daughters and 2 sons. The Tzemach Tzedek had 7 sons and 2 daughters. The Bechayr, his name was Rabbanach Sholem, the Ravash, Rabbanach Sholem. He was born a Balmum. He didn't have a left hand. His left arm ended in a stump. And personally, I believe that this is very significant. I believe that the fact that he was a Balmum, Bagashmis, meant something also Baruchnias. Then someone said it's Pchor. The Baruch Shalom, the Ravash. And the story, of course, was that right before the Alter Rebbe passed away, the Alter Rebbe passed away Matzah Shabbos, Pasha Shmeis, whatever, 10:30 at night, Eidl Chavdal Tevis, Tov Kufayin Gimel. Within days of the Histalkus, Mamish, the Alter Rebbe called the Tzemach Tzedek, who was then 22, and he said to him, do you have any shailas in halacha you need to be mevarer? Do you have any questions in halacha that are disturbing you, that are unresolved? And the Tzemach Tzedek thought, and he said that he cannot think of any. So that's the way it stayed. The Alter Rebbe wanted to help him resolve a question. After the Histalkus, he understood that the Alter Rebbe was talking about the Ravash's hand. What do you do about tefillin? He didn't have fingers. And for tefillin, it's very important to have fingers. And in Tzemach Tzedek's tshuvas, you have 2 or 3 long tshuvas near the Chayim addressing the question, what does a person do if he doesn't have a hand? And Bepashtet, the Tzemach Tzedek wrote it when his own son became bar mitzvah. The Ravash, the Baruch Shalom, was a very great person. He was born, it's hard to know exactly, Samach Vov or Samach Zayin, which meant to say that when the Alter Rebbe passed away, he was about 7, maybe 8. If he was 8, he had to be when Samach Dal or Samach Hei. It says Samach Vov or Samach Zayin. Bottom line is, as young as he was old enough to know the Alter Rebbe. But not only old enough to know the Alter Rebbe as a kid knows, but as a wise adult, as a wise, mature, he was a wunderkind, Tzemach Tzedek's Bchor. And the Alter Rebbe was makarev him meilendik. Alter Rebbe was makarev the Ravash oisei geveinlich. There was a very special connection. He was a great grandson. Alter Rebbe had many great grandchildren, but the Ravash and the Alter Rebbe developed a bond that was extraordinary, most unusual. And the Alter Rebbe shared with this great grandson of his, as young as he was, the kinds of things that he shared with no one. I think it says that he taught him the trup of Emes. There's 3 svarim in Tanakh that have very complicated trup. Iev Mishlei Tilim. Very complicated trup. The Rebbe Marash used to say, he said the trup of Tilim is so complicated that the Rebbe Marash had gehata lying in autumn. The Rebbe Marash had very healthy lungs. If I'd zogin aim pasuk, he would say one kapitel, one pasuk in Tilim, with the trup, he had to catch his breath. No one has ever heard anybody laying the trap of Tilim because no one knows the trap of Tilim. But the Rebbe Marash knew it. And upon him, he had it from his uncle. From his older brother, I'm sorry. The Rebbe Ravash and the Marash were brothers. There was a disparity of almost 30 years between the two of them. But the Pashtus, the Zayde, the Alter Rebbe gave it over to the Ravash, and upon him, the Ravash gave it over to the Rebbe Marash. And I think the Rebbe Rashab's brother, the Razor, also knew it, but I'm not sure. Now, Alter Rebbe had a very close relationship with this boy. He was a very young boy. And the culmination of this relationship was that when the Alter Rebbe passed away, he was from the 3 people who participated in the Alter Rebbe's Levaya. Alter Rebbe passed away on the run, in the middle of a war, in the dead of the coldest winter on record. Very cold, 1812. The winter that defeated Napoleon, 1812 to 1813. And Alter Rebbe was in Kfar Pien, it was in a village. There wasn't a Jew in that village. Alter Rebbe was staying in a Goy's home. And then he passed away Matzah Shabbos, and they had to move his remains, his Guf Kodesh, to the nearest cemetery. The Mittler Rebbe wasn't around. The Mittler Rebbe had traveled to Kremenchuk, which is in Malorussia, I think it's called Small Russia, I don't know the territories, but it's a different part of Russia altogether. Maybe it's the Ukraine even, to look for a house. Because Alter Rebbe had burnt his house down. The French had already, for the most part, lost the war, and Alter Rebbe needed a place to live. To go back to Lozhna was no point. To go back to Liadi, there was no point. He had burnt his house to the ground. So the Mittler Rebbe went to look for a Adida. He was not by the Histalkos and he was not by the Levaya. And perhaps it was a Nes. Had he been there, no one knows what would have occurred. When he heard about the Rabbi's Histalkos, he fainted again and again and again. It was Pakonos Tefoshes Mamish. But the three people who were involved in the Levaya, the Alter Rebbe, was the Tzemach Tzedek, Alter Rebbe's grandson. Reb Nochem, who was another one of the Tzemach Tzedek's Alter Rebbe's grandchildren, who was considerably younger. He was Sachako 15 or 16. He was born after Reb Nochem Chernobyl had passed away, Bepashtis. And the 8-year-old Ravash. These three men, Tzemach Tzedek was 22, Reb Nochem was Mestama 14, and the Ravash was 7 or 8. They prepared the Alter Rebbe. They took him that Motzei Shabbos from Haditch to Piena. I'm sorry, from Piena to Haditch. And they made arrangements and they made his Levaya. There's an interesting story. It was so cold. They stopped in an inn in the middle of the night. And they left the Guf Kodesh outside in the casket, in the box. But because it was the Alter Rebbe, they didn't leave him alone. Someone stood Shmira. So there were three of them, so they took turns. The Goyim in the inn assumed that they were not carrying a Bar Minyan, but they were carrying money. Because why else would they put a Shomer on duty to watch the remains of a deceased person? So they decided to kill them, Rachman al-Itzlan, and to find what was in the urn, in the casket. And the Rebbe Shmuel Amudin de Kenes, that they fell into this incredibly deep sleep. They were half drunk, they fell into a tadim, and they were able to get away. Another little interesting detail which is brought, that one of them was outside. I don't know which one of the three, I think it was Reb Nochem, was outside. And suddenly the entire casket raises itself in the air, like you have in Pashas Vayetze with Lavan. Oymed ala gmalim ala oyin. The Alter Rebbe's casket raised itself off the ground, and Reb Nochem took a look. A pig had started to roost under with the Alter Rebbe's shlitten. He was on a sled. So the goof raised itself, so he sent off the chazir, and the Alter Rebbe's goof rested. The Ravash never got over the histalkos of his Elter Zeder. He was a boy of 7 or 8. Friedrich Eber writes, his entire life there was a melancholy about him, a sadness about him, that do with the passing away, not of the Mittler Rebbe, but the Alter Rebbe, whom he knew he couldn't have been past 7, maximum 8. I think he was 6 or 7. But the connection was very deep. He was a very great person. And the Rebbe, the Friedrich Eber, describes him as a sheisek. He's a man of very few words. He lived his whole life in Lubavitch. The Tzemach Tzedek wanted his children to live in Lubavitch, and he built for each one of them a home and a Beis Medrash, a shul. And the Seder was that Chassidim, who would come to the Rebbe, would also go to the Rebbe's kinder. The Chassidim would go to the Rebbe's children. So everybody came to Lubavitch, to the middle of Rebbe, to the Tzemach Tzedek, Fashteitzach. But afterwards, when they wanted to fabreng and talk more pnimius deik with more involvement, each one chose which one of the Rebbe's kinder they fancied, they felt closest to. And chassidim, they were groups. Some chassidim went to the Ravash, some chassidim went to the Maril. The Maril was the holiest of the children. He was the biggest tzir. Bechaya from Mittler Rebbe from Tzemach Tzedek. And the Ravash given a sheisek, veinigeret. Somebody else we know who also didn't speak very much, a descendant of his, was not into the speaking business. But when the Mittler Tzemach Tzedek passed away, amongst the Chassidim there was a terrible machlekes, because everybody felt that they knew who should be the Mamala Mokab, who should be the successor. And they had already established allegiances, in some cases, decades before. They were Chassidim of the Tzemach Tzedek, but they had been involved with one of the Tzemach Tzedek's children for many years, because each one of them had their own little mismadrish and so forth. And there was a big bitter machlokes. Tzemach Tzedek left in his will that all of his children should stay in Lubavitch. He didn't say that they shouldn't be rebbes, he said they should stay in Lubavitch. There was also a will, which is now published, in which he made it clear that he wants the Rebbe Marash to be Rebbe. But he didn't write that to Chassidim, he wrote that to the Rebbe Marash. It was a personal tzavot to the Rebbe Marash. And the consequence of this was that Lubavitch was split. And one by one they left Lubavitch. So Amaisim et Akash, it's Akash of Amaisim. And they left. The Maril left after Shavuos, I think. Samazari passed away before Pesach. He passed away the following Cheshvan. Mamish, 6 months after his father was nistalek. And there's a letter from the Rebbe Marash to his nephew, to the Maril, to the Rebbe Zalman Kopis there. Godel Hayom Shevreina, how tzabrochen he was that his brother had passed away. The Marin, Rebbe Zalneach, left Lubavitch a year or two later. The Marin was the grandfather-in-law of the Friedrich Rebbe. Rebbe Tznecha Medina was his granddaughter, the Marin from Neach. And he said, the Tata Gezotis of Leibman Lubavitch Afila as a Chignish King Kovit. He says, my father said I should stay in Lubavitch if nobody gives me respect, but not if people humiliate me. That was his, and he left. And all of them left. The oldest, who had the right to the position of Be'alacha, was the only one who didn't take the job, and he stayed in Lubavitch. Because the Tzemach Tzedek had told him that he shouldn't be a Rebbe. And he promised him that he'll not be a Rebbe, he'll get Pishnayim. A Bechor is supposed to get double. He promised him if he won't be a Rebbe, he'll get Pishnayim. And he added cryptic words. V'dei Revi Yashuvu Heina. In four generations, it'll come back. And this was known in the Rav Asher's Mishpacha. The Rav Asher's children knew about this oral message. He told his son not to be a Rebbe. And he told them, if you imagine the tzir, that Rav Asher was probably in his early 60s, that Rav Marash was 32 years old, and they were brothers. And the Rav Asher was the Rav Marash Sachosid, Mamish. He passed away Choftes. He passed away 3 years after his father. He's buried in Lubavitch. And now they put up a tzir, and they put up a Himamateva where he is buried. They found, they know where he is. They knew the map of the Beis HaChayim. They knew where people were buried, but they put up new matzevis with the same words that written in the I have pictures. You can see where he's buried in relationship to the oil. In the oil, you just have the Tzemach Tzedek and the Marash. He's outside of the oil. The Rav Asher. He was very, very great and very, very silent. This is the Rebbe's grandfather's grandfather. Our Rebbe's grandfather's grandfather. The Rav Asher's son was a Levi Yitzchak. The Levi Yitzchak's son was a Baruch Shneir Zalman. His name was actually Shneir Zalman. But he married a girl whose father was named Shneir Zalman, I think Itkin. In other words, he married a girl whose father had the same name as he did. And it says in Sabbath, the Bridan Chosid, that you shouldn't marry somebody whose father has the same name as you, so he added a name. So his name became Baruch Shneir Zalman, but the Zalman was forgotten. He became Baruch Shneir. He was what they call in Chazal, B'nai Tevim. He never held an official position. Never. Never had a job in his life. But his whole life was Tein HaNaveda. He learned and he davened. The Rebbe supported him. The Rebbe Rashab gave him pashas for Gehalt. He was a Gehoi B'nedid. This is the Rebbe's grandfather, Rebbe Levick's father. I have no doubt he was a tzaddik. But we know that he was a Gon. A Gon Eilam. From the stories that the Chassidim tell about him, you know what's going on. And he was a Freilich Erid. A happy Freilich. When he would travel with Chassidim, it was a pleasure. Because he was just a fountain of Teda. I told you the story recently. Yudel Chitrik describes traveling with him. And he says, so much at Chazer HaMaimer. So nobody knows HaMaimer. So he Chazer HaMaimer. A few minutes later, he says, so much at Chazer HaMaimer. So he Chazer a second one, and a third one, and a fourth one. This is the Rebbe's grandfather, Rebbe Levick. And he kept a diary of his trips to Lubavitch. He kept a diary of his trips to Lubavitch. And in fact, he lost his wife. And he got married by Zivik Sheni. He got married a second time in Lubavitch. The Rebbe Nishma was the Masada Kedushin. And the night after the Chasana, the Rebbe Nishma says to him, "What's to do? He got married last night." He says, "What's a better place to be than here?" He was family to the Rebbe Nishma. His diary is very, very special. And before he passed away, he gave it as a gift to the Friedrich Rebbe. He gave it as a gift to the Friedrich Rebbe. And Adank Lubavitch of Politics, not only has it been printed, it's been printed twice. The Rebbe's grandfather's diary was published by both sides with different footnotes. I don't know why. It is the only sefer that was zeichet to this chos. Now the igers are being printed twice. But the Rebbe's father's diary was published. It's wonderful. It's a really wonderful. It's an inside look into the Rebbe Nishma Seyden's home from someone who was a maven. You know what I'm saying? If we were in the house, we wouldn't know what we were seeing. It's Fanandiga Klim. We understood what's going on in the Rebbe's Gishtrub. And he describes it in very, very human terms. He doesn't sound like a holy man. He sounds like a learned man, but not like a holy man. But it's a very, very useful window into the world of the Rebbe Rashab's family life. Pashat, he's a cousin. He was a first cousin. He was a first cousin once removed. His father was the Rebbe Rashab's cousin. He was older than the Rebbe Nishma Seyden, and yet he was a generation further away, because the Rebbe Rashab was from the youngest of the children, was from the oldest. So Rebbe Levick The Rebbe's father was the fourth generation from the Tzemach Tzedek. So the Shmuel is, the story is that Rebbe Leivik thought that he has a right to the Rabistva because of this Tzavah that he had gotten from his father, who had from his father through the Rabash. And when the Rebbe became a Chosin, Rebbe Leivik said that the four generations don't begin with the Tzemach Tzedek, they begin, he understood that the Rebbe is going to be the Rebbe, our Rebbe, the Rebbe. And this is the story, this is the background, yeah? The Hemshech HaSipur is that the Rebbe, our Rebbe, was never in Lubavitch. It's one of the strangest things. The Rebbe, Zal Gezun Zayim, was never in Lubavitch. When the Rebbe Nishma Satan passed away, was in Stalak, he was 18. 18, okay? The Rebbe to Bar Mitzvah, his father said, was a Goa Neilam. Our Rebbe, the Rebbe's Levik, said to the Rebbe Zanchana, to Bar Mitzvah, said, Gavoa Neilam. So he had what to go to Lubavitch for. He would have been useful. He was never in Lubavitch. And in one of the stories that goes around, one of the Tmimim was in Yekaterinoslav, the Rebbe Petrovsk, and he asked the Rebbe Tzinchana, the Rebbe's mother, you have such a gerot nemzun, such a gifted child, how you talking, you don't send him to Lubavitch. So her response was, assuming the story happened, Erais tzergeinim alostim nisht. He wants to go, they're not letting him. Who's they? It could only have been one of two people, either his father or the Rebbe Rashab. I would imagine it was his father by instructions of the Rebbe Nishma Satan. And this has a precedent. The Alter Rebbe never saw the Baal Shem Tov by the Baal Shem Tov's instructions, because he wanted that the Alter Rebbe should be a Talmud of his Talmud. The bottom line is the Rebbe Rashab, the Rebbe never saw the Rebbe Nishma Satan. Never. And he was never in Lubavitch. Rabbi Groner once told us that when the Rebbe became Rebbe, they put on his stationery Lubavitch. So he said, how can you say Lubavitch? I never visited the town. So there was a whole vikuach, and the Rebbe said they shouldn't say Rabbi and the Rebbe's name Shneerson of Lubavitch. You say Rabbi and the Rebbe's name Shneerson dash Lubavitch. Not of Lubavitch, but Lubavitch. It's the movement, not the shtetl. But he went to the Friedrich Rebbe, Pegimel. And what was the first maimer the Rebbe heard when he came to the Friedrich Rebbe for the first time? The maimer which the Friedrich Rebbe gave out for his histalkos, that was the Rebbe Shalom Aleichem. The same maimer, word for word. Word in word. With a different ascholah, Betzel Yehim Azeh. But the maimer that the Rebbe gave out for his histalkos was the first maimer the Rebbe heard when he arrived in Lubavitch. It was Yevotin Astov, Pegimel. This is true. You can check it out if you don't believe me. And it became a whole question of chosin. The Rebbe went to the Friedrich Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe knew who the Rebbe was. And the Rebbe went with his brother Leibel. They both were by the Friedrich Rebbe. And upon him, they used to stand behind the Friedrich Rebbe. They were from the Cheshuvim. They were Taka Bochrim. But they were special. They were special because of who they were. They were special over their Yichas. They were Shneasins. In one of the Sichas of Behea, I think, the Friedrich Rebbe turns around to the two of them. It doesn't say their name, but it says their abbreviation. It's obviously to them. It says, Arachmonus of Eich Bechlau and of Dir Befrat, was it at Nish Gekendem Taten. It's an achmonas on the two of you, but especially you. That he said to the Rebbe, but that you didn't know my father. But that you kenned them tat. And they became a pasha of shidduch. The Friedrich Rebbe wanted the shidduch. And apparently the shidduch didn't go so easy. Upon him, the shidduch didn't go so easy. By one of the Fabrengens, that the Rebbe was there, behind the Friedrich Rebbe, one of the Alter Chassidim, I don't know which, somebody said to the Friedrich Rebbe, pointing to the Rebbe, achos. And the Rebbe raised his hands. The Friedrich Rebbe said, "Mi yitin," which "Mi yitin." Halavai, I wish he wanted. And there was the shidduch was a ganze parsha. I don't know the details. There's all kinds of rumors and all kinds of stories. People say that Rebbe Leivik opposed the shidduch because he saw a pikabola. There's not going to be children. I heard from somebody that the Rebbe was arguing with his father. The Rebbe Leivik said to the Rebbe that it's not going to be Hemshech. So the Rebbe said to Rebbe Leivik, but the Rebbe weiß das ich. The Friedrich Rebbe also knows this, and yet he wants the Shidduch. No, it's something that has to be. In other words, Rebbe Leivik was saying, why would you want such a Shidduch? And the Rebbe says, but the Rebbe Leivik was his father, yeah? And the Friedrich Rebbe was his Rebbe. It's quite a problem to have such a father. It's not so, you know, his father wasn't a posher to tate, his father was Rebbe Leivik. But the Rebbe was Rebbe. He said to his father, oh, but the Rebbe weiß das euch. The Rebbe also knows what you know. And if he wants the Shidduch, then the Shidduch is appropriate and it should be. The bottom line is, as we all know, the end of the story was they got married. Yeah. And there's a lot of details to the story. There's about a million of people who claimed credit for the Shidduch. And everybody came to collect sooner or later. Everybody took credit for the Shidduch. One of the stories which is true, now Zalman Gerai also printed it in his Sefer, it's printed again. I shouldn't say he printed it. It was printed after he passed away. But in the Zalman Gerari Sefer that's now printed, there's a few little details which are wonderful. I'm not surprised by what is written there, but it's still nice to see. Schwarzer Weiß. When the Shidduch was being finalized, the Rebbe Tzinchana traveled to Rostov, I believe, to talk about the Shidduch, to negotiate the Shidduch. They called it in those days Unzukuk in the Kala, to examine the Kala. And who decides for a yeshiva bocher, a chassidish bocher, what kind of a girl he should marry? His sister or his mother? I mean, that's normal. I mean, today everything is upside down. But normal, what is a bocher? Huh? That's what they do. What does a bocher know about a girl? Was that for and Amedim? So she spent 3 weeks in the house in Rostov by the Rebbe. And before she left, she went into Friedrich Rebbe. This is a true story. And she said to the Friedrich Rebbe, I have permission from my husband to agree to the Shidduch. In other words, I've been given the authority to acquiesce, to speak on his behalf about this question. But he said that I have to ask you for a nadin, for a dowry, for geld. Now, how much money are you going to pay for the Rebbe Chosson? A nadin? So the Friedrich Rebbe says, I have no money. So the Rebbe says, Ich mein nicht geld. Ich mein Rabbeist. I don't want money, I want a promise of succession. So the Friedrich Rebbe agreed. And the people, Zalman Gerari heard it b'shas mais. Zalman Gerari was a bocher at the time, or a kid. He wasn't a bocher, he was a kid, he was 14. He was living in the Friedrich Rebbe's house. Friedrich Rebbe adopted him when his father passed away. And he heard the story b'shaite, and it's printed in his sefer now. He was in the house, he heard the story at the time, in Peidalet, Peigimel, whenever the story happened. And the Rebbe asked it for it in writing. That, right. So one version I heard in the name of Chaim Lieberman. I can't put it for you in writing, but Chassidim will understand themselves. In Zalman Gerari, Sefer Shetan Andavot, Ba'uns is Avort Avort. Different Gerasim. By us, this is brand new information, at least for me. Ba'uns is Avort Avort. If I say something, it's going to be. Avort is Avort. He wouldn't give it to him in writing. Uns Avort, this is new, this is in the Sefer. This is Geluyim. Ba'uns is Avort Avort. That's just it. Anyway, so the shidduch happened. It took him forever to get married. They were chasen kalim for 5 years. There's of course all kinds of explanations why the wedding was so postponed. There was a lot of negotiating, a lot of correspondence back and forth. But the final thing that held up the Rebbe's wedding was that the Rebbe had left Russia. The Friedrich Rebbe left Russia. And of course we all know that the Friedrich Rebbe was entitled to take with him his family. Who was his family? His mother, his Rebbetzin, his three daughters, his son-in-law and his grandson. There was, I think it was a total of 7. Can reckon, yeah, 3 males and 4 females. And the Rebbe also wrote, Hamayuad Liyas Chosni. He wrote on the tzettel, my son-in-law to be. And the KGB told him, a Chosni you'll find someplace. So the Rebbe said, Azan Chosn, Kemenicha. Such a Chosn you cannot find. I don't know whether the Rebbe, our Rebbe, got out on the Friedrich Rebbe's visa or not. But he was out of Russia exactly at the same time. And the Rebbe was in Russia. Heverman first class. I mean, he knew how to work the KGB like a musician, like an artist. I mean, the Rebbe's whole philosophy was, and this is what he would say publicly in New York, if you do things quietly, you can accomplish anything. Just don't make a tumult. And this is what he screamed in America about the protests and so forth. The Rebbe was out of Russia the same day the Friedrich was out of Russia. Whether he came with the Friedrich Rebbe's visa or his own visa, that's the fact. He went home, Kiyadua, he went home, he spent Tishrei Peches with his parents. And that Simchas Teira, the walls of Rostov, of Yekatim Hamzach Getresel, the Simcha was Oizeg Eveilach. And the following morning he left. His father and mother accompanied him. His father went a distance and went back, and she followed him till the border. The Rebbe's mother, the Rebbe Tzinchana. And she told him, Maisa Meshuna Mamesh, that it was the morning of Yisro Chag HaSukkos, Yisro Chag Simchas Teira, and the Rebbe stood up and put on tefillin on the train in Soviet Russia. And a bunch of goyim got up and made a circle around him and blocked him that nobody should see what he was doing until he finished davening. The Maisei Shehoya, Pille Ploy, a Nes Golui. The Rebbe Tzachanis was so afraid, because the Goyim stood up, they made a mechitza of people, and they stood the whole Meshach Zman, the Rebbe's davening, that someone shouldn't disturb him, and Chas V'Shalom shouldn't hurt him. And the Rebbe did his thing, like Drashi, and Benutam, and those days he probably wasn't wearing Shemush Aram and Ivan. But the Rebbe, he davened, I'm sure he didn't rush either, he did what he had to do. And this is an undersort for Shefanish. And the Rebbe left Poland, left Russia. He could not get into Poland because he couldn't get into Latvia because he wasn't on the same visa. He didn't let him in. He was a Russian. If you were a Russian, you were persona non grata in Lithuania. The Rebbe himself, the Friedrich Rebbe, was let into the country because the Mordechai Dubin was a member of the political the parliament. So the Rebbe had no choice but to move to Berlin. He didn't have a choice, Bosch. And the Rebbe spent his chosen year, Peches, in Berlin. And he came from Berlin to Poland for his own chasaneh. And that's where the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin settled, because the Rebbe was only able to live in Berlin, and the justification for living in Berlin was that he was going to school, he was a student. And of course, there's the stories with the Rebbe Smicha, Aribim Meis. Anyway, the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin got married, Yudalat Kislev, Tafresh Peites. The Friedrich Rebbe was living in Latvia, the Rebbe was living in Berlin, and the wedding took place in Poland, in Warsaw. And the reason was because the Friedrich Rebbe, this was the Friedrich Rebbe's hello to Hasidus of Poland. And the Lubavitcher Rebbeim were always isolated, Russia was very separated. This was the real first official meeting between the Gedolei Hasidei Poland and the Rebbe Rashi, the Friedrich Rebbe. And the wedding was a Shem Dover. All the papers wrote about it was a major event. It was a huge event in Warsaw. And there were two things. Number one, they were hoping that the Rebbe's parents would be allowed to leave. The Rebbe's parents wanted to come to the chasaneh, and they asked the Russian government permission to leave on a visitation visa, a temporary visa. And incidentally, while I'm telling you about the Rebbe, in 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, the Rebbe was sent, our Rebbe was sent his father's file. After the Soviet Union collapsed, the KGB in their tshuva sent files to all the descendants of all the people that they had tortured. And the Rebbe was sent his father's file. And I don't think the Rebbe necessarily had a lot of nachas ruach from it. But okay, it's water under the bridge. And there was publishing for Chabad magazine at the time. And one of the things that was written in that file was that apparently in 1920, in Tafresh Pei, the Rebbe's parents had applied to immigrate to Eretz Yisrael. To emigrate, they wanted to leave. In other words, as soon as the Bolsheviks took over Russia, the Rebbe's parents decided to leave Russia. And the KGB asked him, this is 20 years later, this is 1939, when he was being cross-examined, why did you want to leave Russia? So he says, I got a position in Eretz Yisrael as a Rav. So why did you not leave Russia? So the Levik said they wouldn't let me take along Bedel. A third brother, Bedel. The Rebbe had a brother who was not well. And he was in a sanitarium. He was in a home in Yekaterinoslav, where the Rebbe's parents lived. And they wouldn't leave without him. And the British wouldn't allow him in. And the Rebbe's parents stayed in Russia. He was killed by the Nazis. When the Nazis came, in other words, the Rebbe lost blood in the war. His brother was killed by the Nazis. They came into Yekaterinoslav, they took over the hospital, and the Russian doctors were made to clean the hospital out, and that's the end. That's how Bedel passed away. He doesn't even have a matzeva. I think that on labels matzeva in Eretz Yisrael it says Le'ilu Nishmas Achiv Dev Ber Hayad. I think in Eretz Yisrael labels matzeva now is moved to Tzfas. I think it says on the footer the matzeva is Bedel's name. Bedel. He was the third brother. And the government wouldn't let him go. They wanted to go to the chasaneh. The chasaneh getting pushed off and pushed off. Until it was obvious that the Rebbe's parents were not going to be at the wedding. So a date was set. That was one issue. And the other issue was Kesef Menolim. How do you make a chasaneh like this? The Friedrich Rebbe was a check of geld. The expense of this chasaneh was unbelievable. It was a royal wedding. In every sense of the word, it was so drawn out. There was a Sudasani, and there was, I don't even know all the names of the events, Togmol, and this and that. The other thing, the wedding went on from the afternoon till the following morning, and they were in two or three different places, and everybody had to be fed. It was a major event. All the Hasidim, all the Rosh Hashanah who were out of Russia got personal invitations to the wedding. Yechon and Gordon his sons tell the story of how he was sick with fever and he traveled to the wedding. It was a huge, huge event, the Friedrich Rebbe's Chasana. And many of the Gedolei Poel, many of the Chassidish Rebbe's of Poel participated in the Chasana. And they got to meet not just the Friedrich Rebbe, but the Rebbe. So the Friedrich Rebbe traveled. Probably the story of Avram Parish found money. He found the Oitzer in Eretz Yisrael. So before the Yetzer Hara can talk him out of it, he sent the ganze geld to them. The whole thing was a lot of money. He found money, fun and geld, and he sent it to the Rebbe. And that was the money which the Rebbe made the chasana. It's a true story. If you have Echaday Avram Parish Sefer, he tells the story. And there's a hemshach to the story also, which I don't remember. So the Rebbe had money to make a chasana. The chasana was settled in Varsha. Varsha had several million Jews. Hundreds of thousands of Chassidish Yidden, dozens of Chassidish Rebbes, and some of them were actually Roy Lishmoy, you know, they were good to Yidden. And the Chasna was a major event. Like I said, the Rebbe traveled to Mriga. The Kale went earlier to make preparations for the Chasna with her mother. The Fidikev, I think he spent Shabbos still in Riga, and after Shabbos, he went from Riga to Varsha. From Riga, Latvia, to Varsha, Poland. The official tnoim, the official engagement of the Rebbe was Vav Kislev. 1 week before, 8 days before the Chasna, Vav Kislev, Tofer Petas was the official tnoim. Official, they wrote that they made a tnoim, a kinyan. And the Rebbe said, Amayim Evachol Banayich, I think. And the following Shabbos, I think also in Riga, was the Chasna de Aliyah. And the Rebbe, the Fidikev, said again the same Amayim Evachol Banayich. The Shem, it's printed in the Rosh Hashanah. The wedding was Tuesday, so Sunday they traveled from Riga to Varsha. And Monday night it was weiter an event, something happened, it was a major event. The Chasen, I'm not familiar with all the details, but Tuesday was the Chasen. The Chelek Aruchni of the Chasen was in the Yeshiva. Varsha had a Tem Chatmimim. Varsha Tem Chatmimim, which was started in Tafresh Pei, 1920. There were Shmotkins living in Varsha. Zalman Shmotkin, but Nochainer, Yehuda, I think, who were Tmimim, and they got permission from the Friedrich Rebbe to start Temche Tmimim, and the Mashpia in the beginning was Rabbi Alter Simchovich, Rabbi Alter was a real Tomim, a Gohib and Arid, and when the Friedrich Rebbe came to Varsha and he saw Temche Tmimim in Varsha, he was so heartened. He got such simcha from it, because he felt like this is Lubavitch. It was Taka Poilin. But the Bachrim were raised up to a very high madrege, and the Friedrich Rebbe was very, very heartened, very excited by the tzir of the Bachrim Tevchim in Varsha, in Warsaw. And he wanted that the Chelek Aruchni, the Chasna, should be there. In other words, the Kabbalah Sponim took place there. And you had to have tickets to get in. Thousands of people. Everything was a separate ticket. One ticket got you into the Kabbalah Sponim, a second ticket got you into the dinner, and so forth. And the Rebbe got married there. Fuck that, they got married. By the Kabbalah's ponim, as you all know, the Friedrich Rebbe said, "Amayim elochadei lekat kal b'shabbos nekabel." But before he started saying the Maim, he made a statement, which is printed. The Friedrich Rebbe wrote it down himself. And the statement is, Yaduo mafurs. It's known, it's famous, that by every chasana, the Zaydis come from at least three generations. To say, if Chas Hashem, there have been deceased parents and grandparents, they come to participate in the Chas. He says 3 years by everybody. And there are those who more and even more than three generations come to the Chas. So the Friedrich Rebbe said, I'm going to say a Maimer. I'm going to include in the Maimer Achelik von Taten, Achelik von Zeiden, Achelik von Elter Zeiden. That means the Rebbe Rashab, the Rebbe Marash, and the Tzemach Tzedek. Und nach Helik von Elter Vetter, der Elter Zede von dem Chossen, das meant der Ravash. I didn't know that he had Chassidus, but the Rebbe said, Achelik von Elter Vetter, the Rebbe's great-great-grandfather, Rabbi Baruch Shalom, Achelik von Mittel Nerem, Achelik von Alt Nerem. And this will be their invitation to the Chassana. And he finished, Kol Ha'im Eshmua, V'shem Eimre Yehi Ki'i Yibala Shmua Eimed Lenegde. When you say a Shmua, V'shem Eimre, you should see. When the Friedrich Rebbe said that, that meant that he saw them. That's what it meant. When the Friedrich Rebbe said, "Leimer Shmuel b'shem Eimer," that pushed these in. And the Rebbe said, "The Maim Alochadei." And of course, the most poignant moment at the Chasana happened before the Chuppah. The Rebbe took the Rebbe into a room, and he made everybody leave. The only other person he allowed in was Harav HaKadosh Rav Avraham Schneerson, the Friedrich Rebbe's father-in-law. The Friedrich Rebbe Schwer was at the Chassene. I think he was the second Unterführer. They said the Friedrich Rebbe and the Rebbe, and then the Friedrich Rebbe's Schwer and Schwieger. I think. I'm not sure, but I think. Huh? Yeah. And Rav Avraham Schneerson was the Friedrich Rebbe Schwer. And the Friedrich Rebbe writes about his Schwer Harav HaKadosh. And he didn't write about it because of familial politics. He wrote about it because of Nemes. Tata is given an Admur. Tata is an Admur. By him, it doesn't say Admur, but it says Rav HaKadosh. And the Valachai Maltes was there. And the Friedrich Rebbe made everybody leave. And he turned to Rav Chaim Altes. And he hesitated. And he says, do next light. And I think the reason he wanted the Valachaim there, because he told the story. And the story had to be told. The Friedrich Rebbe took a gartel and he girdled the Rebbe and he said, "Be'emes habachidaf machan abrocha ezer yisrael begvura." The broch on the gartel. He said in the morning, "Ezer yisrael begvura." But I made the broch in the morning. Medem fabindich dich zu mir umich zu dir bazeu bebo. With this gartel, I am binding you to me and me to you here and there, in this world and in the next world. This is before the chuppah. The Baal Chaim was the Rebbe's Shomer. The Baal Chaim Altes was the Rebbe's Shomer. The Baal Chaim was a Nikolaiver. He remembered the Rebbe as a child. He remembered the Rebbe as a child. He was taught by the Rebbe's Bris. And the Rebbe was going to college, you know. And he writes, you know, who knows how the Rebbe see it is. He says he followed the Rebbe around for 3 days and he watched the Rebbe daven and the Rebbe say tilim and the Rebbe say vidri. He writes to his children in Russia, so the Zilber Mendel. I'm telling you, it's the same Mendel that we knew as a child in Nikolaev. He hasn't changed an iota. The world has not had any impact on him whatsoever. He was very excited. He wrote this as a letter to Chassidim in Russia, to his children. And this letter was found in the same place where they found the Rebbe's grandfather's diary. These letters were also found, and they're also published. The letters are published. Wonderful. It's a very, very personal account of the chuppah. What happened was, Rebbe Lachaim was Nebuch an old man, and he couldn't push. So, he was so caught of l'malucha. When it came to the chuppah, he couldn't see a thing. Because there was so much jostling and so much pushing, and he wasn't invited to hold one of the sticks under the chuppah, you understand? So he couldn't see a thing. He couldn't see anything. So he's describing what he heard from far away. He says they brought the chosn out. I think the parents, the father and the mother, brought the chosn, and couldn't have been. Maybe the kala was brought by the mother, but the chosn was brought by the two mechutanim, his Rebbe and his father-in-law. And the Friedrich Rebbe was singing the Alter Rebbe's Nigen. He heard the Friedrich Rebbe singing Alter Rebbe's Nigen. And the Rebbe said all the brachas. And this one read the ksuba. There was some very, the Radzine was at the chuppah. There were some very choshev Rebbe's who participated in the chuppah, and they were given different responsibilities. He says, but when the Rebbe said the Sheva Brachas, when the Friedrich Rebbe said the Sheva Brachas, however you heard the Rebbe's call, Rebbe Lachaim meant he heard the Rebbe Rashab. When the Friedrich Rebbe said the Sheva Brachas by the Rebbe's chuppah, he says, I heard the Rebbe, I heard his father, I heard his father's voice. And I've told you many times that it was by the Rebbe's chassid that the Friedrich Rebbe put on a shtreimel for the first time. When the Friedrich Rebbe became a Rebbe, he didn't wear a shtab or a hat, like the Rebbe, except that it was up instead of down. Because there was a tzavah from the Rebbe Marash, a shtreimel trocht men not in Lubavitch. A shtreimel is only in Lubavitch. The Rebbe in Russia did not wear a shtreimel, he wore a hat. By the Rebbe's chassid, he put on a shtreimel. And it was his grandfather's shtreimel, not his father, the Rebbe Marash shtreimel. And a few weeks after the chassid, he had a dream, and he saw his father, the Rebbe Rashab, and the Rebbe said, "Dem gezogt, dank faren hitl." Thank you for the hat. In other words, he agreed that it was the right thing to do, that he should wear shleimel. And from then on, the Friedrich Rebbe Shabbos and Yom Tov, even when wherever he was Lubavitch, obviously, he wore a shleimel. This was the chuppah. Then after the chuppah, they went to the hall, invited, everyone had to have tickets. And the chuppah was participated by thousands, maybe tens of thousands of Jews. And if you ever read the Polish newspapers, they printed, they were pickpockets. I mean, it was bad news. I mean, Poland had a lot of Jews, and everyone had to make a living. You know, the different ways of making a living. I understand that some of the gifts disappeared. I mean, the ksuba disappeared.
Some of the gifts
disappeared. One of the interesting gifts that they ever got was a maneda from his maternal grandfather, from his wife's maternal grandfather. Rabbi Avraham Schneers, the Friedrich Rebbe's Mechutin, the Rebbe's Nechamadina's father, came to the Chasana and gave the Rebbe as a gift his father's maneda. You know how precious that was to him. His father's maneda, the Rebbe Shalnech, and that was the maneda the Rebbe used. With the back, that was the maneda the Rebbe used. I think he asks his father, Rebbe Levick, if he can use, it's a letter, Midachzach. We ask Rebbe Levick if he can use the maneda, and he answers him, listen, Gesundheit. He can use a Gesundheit. So the Rebbe, the maneda the Rebbe used was an inheritance from the Rebbe Tzachaya Mushke's Elter Zede, the Tzemach Tzedek Sazur Rebbe Shalnech. And this is the maneira that Rebbe used all the years. Even after the Rebbe spoke about using a different maneira, this was the maneira that the Rebbe used. It was the maneira that he got as a Yerusha was silver. And the Rebbe Levi, he asked his father, I'm speaking from memory now, but I think there's a letter where he says to him, you could use it. By the Suddhas Chasene, which lasted all night long, it was a Moirindika Simcha. People described the Rebbe danced with all the Rebbes. There was a record of all the Gute Yidin who came to the Chasene, and it was an incredible tzir, the Friedrich Rebbe. Friedrich Rebbe was healthy then. It was an incredible tzir. And of course, the story that everybody knows was that the Rebbe sat down next to the Rebbe, Rebbe Meir Shapiro. They were sitting by the Chasana, so the Rebbe is sitting in the middle, the Friedrich Rebbe, and the Chasana is sitting near him. Right next to the Chasana, he put on a Meir. Meir Shapiro was a Gaon Olam. He came to the Rebbe once mentioned his Sefer by Fabring and Era Meir. And then the Rebbe said, Mazomish Mechesh, his line of came, Bekiyas. He says, Aber Sie kommen auf Chasana, to me, you give him sein Sefer. He said, don't accuse me of knowing a lot. He says, but he pushed it, came to my wedding, he gave me a sefer, the Rebbe's Durgeler, the Eira Meir. The Rebbe has his sefer, he gave him as a gift, his child, the Chuvah's Eira Meir. And the Friedrich Rebbe wanted the Meir Shapiro and the Rebbe to talk and learning, and the Rebbe's not saying a word. He's sitting next to the Rebbe de Shver. So the Meir Shapiro says to the Friedrich Rebbe, over the Rebbe, er zuckgunisht. He's not saying anything. So the Friedrich Rebbe said, zog. They talked for 40 minutes, and the Meir Shapiro says to the Friedrich Rebbe, Lubavitch Rebbe, Tzich Genuman Anede Mago Anelam. He was always mentioned from the spoilers. The Meir Shapiro was a Go Anelam. You know what the Rebbe said about the Meir Shapiro? The Rebbe said about the Meir Shapiro, Egven Gor Gor, the Rebbe knew him. Egven Gor Gor, Achsidi Shirid. And the Meir Shapiro said about the Rebbe, a Go Anelam. Yeah, the Fayomi and the Lini Yeshiva and so forth. During the night, the Rebbe said, "Bafebrengen." You can hear the tapes. He says the Friedrich Rebbe got up, and he went around giving lechayim. He put a towel over his shoulder, like as if he's a waiter, and a tray, and he gave everybody with glass of lechayim. So the Rebbe said, the Rebbe de Shver got out of his seat to go give people. So I got up, and I wanted to help him, and he gave me the eyes, like sit down, behave. It was a chosen. The Friedrich Rebbe said to the Rebbe to sit down. He said, I was sitting on Spilkes. The Friedrich Rebbe was walking around and he's sitting in a seat until the Friedrich Rebbe came, sat back down, and the Chasana continued. And during this Hakofa, he stopped by the Bochrim. And he told the Mashpiyim and the Mashgichim to stand next to the Bochrim. The Rosh Yeshivas gave the Bochrim Mashke, and the Rebbe said, L'chaim at the Bochrim. And he said, the Torah, it's printed, he talked about the infamous Sirius Nefesh. He says, and then the Rebbe sat back down. The Chasana continued. After Shabbat Baruchas, the Friedrich Rebbe said a second Maim and Ashabot. It must have been 5 in the morning. And then the next day, there was a Suddhas Aniyim. The Rebbe provided a meal for the poor people in Varsha, which was a lot of food for a lot of people, unfortunately. There were a lot of Jews living in Varsha. This was the Rebbe's Chasana. What's interesting, and of course the Chasana continued, the Sheva Brachas was over the week of Yitzchak Kislev. Yitzchak Kislev is part of Sheva Brachas. So some of the Maimorim are joint Yitzchak Kislev Maimorim with Chasana Maimorim. Now the Rebbe, of course, corresponded with his father, who was not at the wedding. And some beautiful little details is that Rebbe's parents sent the Rebbe money and asked him to buy the Kala the nicest gift, a very special gift. And when you read the Rebbe Levick's letters, you see such an avrachman. The letters don't show holy man. They show such a loving father, a doting father, who's so proud and so full of ahava. There's a letter from Rebbe Levick, not to the Rebbe Tzachanan, Rebbe Levick to Chaya Mushke, schreibt uns oft, Write as often to us, you're a daughter. Now, the Rebbe and the Rebbe's writing skills were almost as good as their speaking skills. These were people without words. Neither the Rebbe nor the Rebbe were writers. In Bechlal, they were not talkers. I told you, the Friedekeeper once complained that the Rebbe printed in the letters. Medarf sich treffen, aber nicht mit schweigen. The Friedekeeper rested his Rebbe, Chaim Mushke genug. Enough with the silence. Talk. Let people get to know you. Why are you such a secret? The Rebbe and the Rebbe pushed it. This was their personality. They weren't hiding. Maybe they were hiding also, but it was part of their nature. And the Rebbe Levick asks the Rebbetzin to write them often. And the Rebbe Vashteitza. And there's very wonderful correspondence about the Chasene. So there's one letter where the Rebbe Levick writes to the Rebbe, I want you to tell me every detail about this. Bitin asati le'ish. There was the detail about the Gartel, which is without a question the most poignant moment, the Gartel. But during the Sudas Chasene, the Friedrich Rebbe got up when everybody was around, and he announced as Bitei Nasati Le'ish. And the Rebbe Levick writes to the Rebbe, I want you to tell me everything he said. Don't prave an anivus. I am your father, I have a right to know. I want you to. It was so negir to the Rebbe Levick how the Friedrich Rebbe was Machabe the Rebbe. The Rebbe Levick used to tell people that my son is the son-in-law of the Rebbe and the next Rebbe. And Matam Gevolt, I don't know what. I mean, that's like the worst thing to say. But Rebbe Levick said the truth to the next Rebbe. This was the Maise. And of course, the rest of the story was that the Rebbe and the Rebbe to move back to Berlin. The Friedrich Rebbe moved back to Poland, to Riga, Latvia. And the Rebbe moved back to Berlin. We now know. For me, it's news. Maybe for some people, it is news. But the Friedrich Rebbe had decided quite early, by 1930, his decision had already been made, that he wanted to live in Poland. In his own words, in a letter that he wrote to our Rebbe, I want to be near a yeshiva. You have to always want to be in a mokum teda. The Rebbe was in a midbar himself, and the Friedrich Rebbe was writing him, I need to be near a teda. And Tamir Chaim was in Poland. He wanted to be near the yeshiva. The reason he didn't move to Poland in 1930 was he was waiting to be neutralized by the Latvian government. He wanted to become a Latvian citizen. Literally, the day he became a Latvian citizen, he moved to Poland. And it saved his life. Because when the war started, the Nazis were after such personen, such personalities, and on the Friedrich Rebbe's door, there was a sign that said, Latvian citizen, Latvischen Bürger. Germany was not at war with Latvia at the time. That saved the Friedrich Rebbe's life. But he waited till Tzadik Gimel, Tzadik Dalet, 3 or 4 years, once the decision had already been reached that he wanted to move to Poland to be. Isn't that a weird thing to do? You get neutralized by a country and you pick yourself up, move to a different country. He moved to Poland, and that's where he lived for 6 years. The Rebbe was living in Berlin. When the Nazis came to power, he moved to Paris, France. And the correspondence has now been published. The correspondence is very sweet, very, very special. And the Rebbe often traveled to the Rebbe de Schwer, from Friedrich and Rebbe, with the Rebbetzin, first in Germany, and then in Latvia, and then in Poland. When the Friedrich Rebbe moved to Poland, he had trouble getting into the country. The Polish government wouldn't let him in. And there were many Pesachs. And the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin sat alone in their apartment in France, by themselves. The Rebbe used to send them wine, the Rebbe used to send them matzah. How do I know this? Because it's in the Igros Kedish. With the Rebbe sending them things, they poshut couldn't be together for the Sidorim because the Polish government wouldn't let him come into the country, or wouldn't let him leave the country, whatever the particulars were. The Rebbe was always a Russian citizen. He was never neutralized as a French citizen. And as a result, his mobility was very restrained or constrained. In the earlier years, it was easy for him to travel. Once the Rebbe moved to Poland, and upon him, as it got closer and closer to the war, and the tension grew more and more, the poshut didn't let him into Poland. Or they wouldn't let him back into France, and they were away. And of course, the person who paid the price for this was the Rebbetzin. You know? I mean, I'm sure the Rebbe didn't love it. The Rebbetzin, she wanted to be with her mishpacha, and she was with the Rebbe in a studio apartment. You know what a studio apartment means? They didn't have a bedroom. They had one room. The whole apartment was a room. So the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin lived for years. Heber, to tell the Maisa, it's in the Living Torah that his grandfather, his father, Chveis, said to the Rebbe, you can't live like this. He said to the Rebbe, you can't live like this. You need a bedroom. So he didn't ask too many questions. He went and he rented an apartment and he furnished it. Who is that? Heber, a Yid Heber, a Zun Lepto in Kwanais. And he comes to the Rebbetzin and says to the Rebbetzin, I rented an apartment and I furnished the apartment. Please take it. It's not appropriate that you should live like this. Anyway, the Rebbetzin says, Ich will reden mit mein Mann. I will discuss it with mein Mann. And the Rebbetzin, in her incredible tact, did not come back to him. And he waited and waited and waited and waited. So he finally approached her and said, what about the apartment? So the Rebbetzin shrugged her shoulders and says, Ah, der Mann ist im Ganzen nicht interessiert. My husband has absolutely no interest in a bigger apartment. We're doing fine. That's how the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin lived. Mamish betimtzum, bedachkes, all those years. And I had an opportunity to tell some girls on Friday in a different class that I was giving a wonderful little detail. This week is Vayeshev. Right, this Shabbos Vayeshev. Tov Shin Ayim Beis. 20 years ago, this Shabbos, the Rebbe spoke a Sikha, a Fabrengen, not a Sikha, about France. The whole Fabrengen was about France. And the Rebbe told Yemel that the French government changed the beat of the French Marseillaise after the Rebbe adopted the Nigun to the word Der Zamuna. It's an incredible detail. And in the footnote in that Sikha, it says that the Rebbetzin Chaim Mushkin, said to the Hasidim in France when she visited there, Miram ge'aket u'gezeit u'nir ve'chnait. We, meaning the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin, living in France, plowed and seeded, and you will bear the fruit, you will harvest. The Rebbetzin indicated that this was a ruchniyazdike sojourn. And finally, in Siman Tov Shanav, they came to New York, and then the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin were next to the Rebbe.